All right. Yep. We're still in chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Let's start in verse 11. Tell you what, let's just read verse 11 and then we'll read the rest of it later. And that'll save a little time. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. Now, I listened to Alexander Scorby say that, so that's how you say it, in case y'all wonder. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for the reminder about your coming. And Lord, it's wonderful to know that at any day the clouds could part and there you would come for your bride. And Lord, I'm looking forward to it. It's our hope, our blessed hope. And in this dark world we live in, I pray you'd bless your word now. Help us to get right understanding and some help for our lives out of this. Lord, I pray we'd be better for this morning. And Lord, the only way that's going to happen is if you take part in it here and give your word unction and power. And your spirit speaks to the hearts of each one through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. The blessing of Abraham didn't die with Abraham. That's what we need to see there. After the death of Abraham, God blessed his son. God didn't forget his promises. God's promises went far, much farther than just Abraham. God had much more in mind than just Abraham's life. You know, it'd do us well if we could get that in our minds and understanding this morning that it's the same way with us. You know, there's more to your life than just you. There's more that your life is about than just you. Your life is going to cover a lot more people and a lot more time than the years that you live here on this earth. I mean, I've just stressed it over and over as we went through this about Abraham and what an impact and influence he has had on the human race. You know, I just talked to a man this week a little and I got a chance to mention to him. He was talking about how he didn't understand what was going on in the Middle East. And I said, well, it's real easy. It starts with Abraham. There's where the root of it all is at. But he don't know anything about Abraham and he don't really understand. But it is. There's the answers to all the complications that they have over there that the president can't understand and all the leaders of Europe can't understand and the others in the Middle East can't understand what the problem is. And most people don't understand. They just say, all right, a bunch of people, they just been killing each other since time began and they're just going to keep on, just leave them alone and let them kill each other. That's everybody's attitude. They don't have a clue what's going on. Abraham's life influenced many people forever. But now we're talking the first generation, his sons. We're talking about Isaac here first, and then we got to talk about Ishmael a little bit, and then we'll go home. But what we got to talk to about this morning is Abraham's heritage. Abraham's dead now, and his life is over, but his influence is not. And his sons and his grandchildren and the generations following him, all the way up, including us, are going to reap great benefits from Abraham's life. Can you get a hold of that? What about you? That's what I want to get to you this morning. What about you and your life? What does your life amount to? What is it going to amount to in the whole scheme of things here? Well, it just depends on you. It depends on you. What you want to live for. What you want to be, if you just want to consume it up on yourself, if all you're concerned about in your life is just being comfortable and safe and happy and rich or whatever, if it's all about you, then you're not going to leave much of a dent in things. And what you do leave is going to be negative. It's going to have a bad influence on your children and your grandchildren and everybody you know that your life touches. But there's another way to live. There's another way to live where you can impact people forever. And you can leave behind something that'll bring a blessing on your children. Abraham, after the death of Abraham, God blessed his son, Isaac. Now, much of the blessing that Isaac received was not for his own sake, but for Abraham's sake. We're not going to read near as much about Isaac as we did about Abraham, or as we're going to see about Jacob. I mean, Isaac is just an interlude in here almost. There's more to him. I know he's important and all that, but we're just not, the Bible just don't give us the detail and the expanded view of his life like it does Abraham and Jacob. But Isaac was blessed of God, and it wasn't really that much for his sake, it was because of Abraham. Do you understand that? Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5. When he's talking to Isaac about how he's going to bless him and keep his promises, he says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. When God told Isaac what he was going to do for him and how he was going to bless him, that's what God said was the reason. I'm not going to bless you because of you. I'm blessing you because of Abraham. Because Abraham obeyed my voice. And Abraham kept my charge. And Abraham kept my commandments and my statutes and my laws. And that's brought a blessing on you, Isaac. It's what your father did. How your father walked with me. How your father obeyed me. I'm going to bless you. That ought to humble you. I mean, that ought to have humbled Isaac. I think it probably did. Isaac was a good man. You don't find fault with Isaac like you do with most others. There's a few men in the Bible like that. Joseph, you don't find fault with him. I've heard some preachers who I think are ignorant try to find fault with him and pick at stuff and make up stuff about Joseph to make him some kind of a dirty villain like they try to make everybody else. But you can't find fault with Joseph. I mean, he stood when there's very, very few men stood the test. He stood and stayed faithful. And you ain't going to hear me criticizing or picking at Joseph or at Isaac. Isaac was a good man. But his blessings were because of his heritage, his father. Again, in Genesis 26 and verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto him that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. That's how God identified himself to Isaac. I'm the God of Abraham, thy father. And he said, fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. That's what God said to Isaac. So do you get it understood real clear that Isaac's blessings are because of Abraham? That's the way it works. One generation blesses the next generation or curses them. We leave a legacy. We leave a heritage to our children. Now, Isaac's identity was that he was Abraham's son. And he was not ashamed of it. And he didn't try to establish his own individual identity by being different than his father. Isaac was okay with being Abraham's son. He didn't hide from it. He didn't run from it. He didn't try to distinguish him from it, set himself apart as his own individual person. It was okay for people to call him Abraham's son. I hear that a lot in people. You know, they're ashamed of their parents. They're ashamed of their family. And it's funny, you know, I don't see very many ungodly people who say that. It's the people who have godly families who seem to be ashamed of them and want to be distinguished from them. They want to get out in the world and make sure that everybody understands that I'm a little different than them now. I know that's my name. No, that's my dad. No, that's my family. But don't think I'm just like him. It wasn't that way with Isaac. It wasn't that way with Solomon either. You know, I preached a few years ago about Solomon and David, and boy, it's a whole lot the same thing. I read that verse this morning where the people were praising God and thanking God because God had given David the king a son who loved the Lord and who had wisdom and who was able to build the house for the Lord. And we talked about that, you know, when they saw Solomon and heard him pray that day, they heard David. And I think it was that way a lot with Isaac too. Isaac's identity was he was the son of Abraham. And he wasn't ashamed of it. He was known to the people of the land by his connection to Abraham. He was Abraham's son. He wasn't just a stranger that wandered in. Hey, Isaac's born here. He wasn't born someplace else and sojourned here. Now, he is sojourning there because he is not a Canaanite. He's not a Philistine, but he's living there and he was born there. But his identity is still distinct from them. Do you understand that? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We was born here, yeah, but that don't mean I'm one of them. And I don't mean you're one of them if you're born again. Your citizenship somewhere else. Your identity is somewhere else. You're not identified as a sinner of this world if you've been saved and you belong to God. Don't you see that? That's the way it was. Now, and he was known to the people as Abraham's son. Now, God could bless Isaac because he was a wise and obedient son. Abraham didn't have to struggle with Isaac about the will of God. We saw that real clearly when he took him up to Mount Moriah and bound him and laid him on the altar to sacrifice him. Did Isaac struggle? Did Isaac resist? No. He was perfectly submitted. He perfectly trusted his father. Did Isaac fuss and rare when Abraham sent for a wife? No. Did he have a choice? Yeah, he had a choice. But did he fuss and say, I don't like this. You ain't going to pick my bride. I'll find her. Is that the way it was with him? Was it always a struggle with Abraham and Isaac, trying to get Isaac to keep him inside the fold and keep him from running off? Was he always like the cow that gets out all the time? Is that the kind of boy Isaac was? No. So he's the kind of boy that God can bless. He wasn't resistant. He wasn't a wild hare just running everywhere all the time that nobody could control, even his father. That Isaac was submissive to God's will, and he wasn't trying to run from it. And if he'd been like many sons, he would have destroyed the name and reputation of his father as well as his own. If he'd been like many sons. But he wasn't. There's some reasons God can bless Isaac. Number one, he's Abraham's son. Number two, he's a wise son. He's a submissive son. He's a son that is obedient to the will of God and submissive to the will of God. A foolish son is the calamity of his father. Do you know that? A calamity is great distress, great loss, great destruction. A foolish son who tries to distinguish himself from his righteous father is the calamity of his father. He ruins the reputation of his father. If Isaac would have been wicked, and if he'd have just been out of chasing around, if he'd have did like Dinah and went out to see the daughters of the land, or the sons of Jacob who went out and did all their shenanigans, if Isaac would have been like that, what would the people have thought then of Abraham, his father? They would have dismissed his memory. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son despiseth his mother. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. That's how Abraham could die in a good old age, an old man, full of days, happy and blessed and fulfilled with life. He had a son who was made in his image and likeness, who was going to carry on with the same thing that his life was about. That's how David could lay down and die, because he had a son that was sitting on the throne, ready to go on with what really mattered about David's life. What David had lived for, he had a son who was going to take it and go with it. Do you remember all that? Well, I remember preaching on. There's some things I've preached on through the years that's really stuck with me, and that's one of them. Solomon, in his first talks and prayers that you read about, he talks about the God of my father. And then later you hear Solomon saying, my God. Not the God of my father, my God. Now God is Isaac's God. He introduced himself to Isaac as the God of Abraham, thy father. But he's going to be Isaac's God now. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Hey, Isaac didn't do that. Now, Abraham's good example of walking with God was passed to his son just as his physical substance was. We read there last week where Abraham gave to Isaac all that he had. He gave all that he had unto Isaac. The servant, when he went to get Rebekah, remember what he said? Abraham has given all that, my master has given all that he hath to his son. So Abraham's good example of walking with God, it wasn't just the cattle and the silver and the gold and all the servants and everything that Isaac got from his father. Isaac got more from his father than that. That stuff wasn't near as important as the real things that he got from his father. Every life has the potential to set or change the course of other lives. And especially our children and our grandchildren, and the influence of our life can be negative or positive. The influence can make a difference in heaven or hell for eternity, for our posterity. You know, I need to think about that. You need to think about that. You kids need to think about that. You know, we're living in a world where it's all about me and my life. And I mean, women can murder their unborn babies because it's interfering with their life. Well, they shouldn't have been out whoring around in the first place, and they wouldn't be a baby to have to murder to free them to do some more. Amen. You want to talk about a way to solve the problem? How about that? But we're living in that kind of world where it's all about me. It's so selfish and it's all about me. And nobody thinks that anybody else has a right to interfere with anything I do, or that my life and my desires and all that I want shouldn't be limited at all because of somebody else, no matter what. I mean, to the point that they ought to be murdered and put in a hole somewhere if it's going to stop me from enjoying life a little bit. And it's eat up everybody in the church too. They think that they got the same kind of mindset. They don't live for others, they live for themselves. We need to live our lives with the view in mind of how it's going to affect our children and our grandchildren. People used to do that. The reason we've got a country to live in is because our forefathers felt that way, thought that way. That was their philosophy of life, is they were willing pledge. There you go. Our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor for our posterity. They were willing to give it all up and live their lives as paupers, and a bunch of them did, by the way. Those men that signed the Declaration of Independence, a lot of them were wealthy men, and they died paupers because they gave it all to buy the chance for their posterity, their children and their grandchildren to live free. And people don't think like that anymore, do they? They think like Hezekiah, as long as there's peace and safety in my day, I don't care what happens to my... God just told him that his sons were going to be taken off and made into eunuchs in a foreign kings, and he said, that's good. That's good as the word of the Lord. As long as there's peace and safety in my day, what a low-down rascal. If he has anything near what he ought to be, he would have said, no, Lord, let it be on me. David said, let it come on me. What have these sheep done? Don't punish them for me. Well, we ought to have that kind of attitude, don't you think? I mean, when you're young, even as young as you girls are here, you ought to be thinking about your children and your grandchildren and the way you're living your life. You know, I look at these women that are, you know, that's the big thing now. It don't matter who you are or what. They've got to pose naked, or that's the first step in their career, they think. One day they're going to have a little child looking up at them and they're going to have to explain why their mama stoops so low. All they're thinking about is themselves. You better think about how you're going to have to explain and how the effects that it's going to have, your actions now are going to have on your little ones down the road somewhere. It's going to be a tough thing for you to deal with. Live right. Walk in the ways of God. Do like Abraham and obey His voice. And then someday down the road, God can come to your children and say, I'm going to bless you because of your father, because of your mother. And He absolutely does. I don't care what you say, a life of righteousness brings blessings on the generations that follow. No matter what. It wasn't because of Isaac, it was because of Abraham. Abraham wasn't a perfect man. We've seen all through this, as we've studied about Abraham, we've seen that he wasn't a perfect man. But he was a godly man. He made mistakes, and he used poor judgment at times. And he let people talk him into stuff that he shouldn't have done, like Sarah, his wife. And he had things that got him into trouble and brought things into his life that he regretted forever. He wasn't perfect. He didn't do everything right. But he did enough right till he could bring blessings upon his children. To where the summation of his life added up to huge blessings for those that come after him. He overcame all these things that he messed up in, by the way. And God was able to turn them into good. To bring good out of all of them. Isn't that amazing? I was reading here a while back and somebody was talking about it, how that God takes even the worst things that you can imagine that could possibly happen or be done, and God will squeeze some good out of it if people will cooperate with Him. He is able, you know, to do that. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Those that are called according to His purpose. God was able to do that. To make some good of those things because of Abraham's obedience. Even when it was difficult for him to obey. Remember when he had to send Hagar and Ishmael away? Remember that? The second time for good? Send them away? What a bitter thing it was. What a grief of heart. It grieved his heart. But God said, do it, Abraham. And he did it. It was the result of his own wrongdoing, his own poor judgment, his own mistakes, and even sin, if you want to call it that. But he accepted the consequences and dealt with it according to what God told him to. Again, David did the same thing. When Nathan the prophet came to David and said, thou art the man that I'm talking about, that you just pronounced death on. You're him. David said, I've sinned against the Lord. It's me. He didn't fight and fuss. He obeyed. He submitted. He repented. And God was able to bring a Solomon out of the deal. Abraham, what he left for his children was a good foundation which they could build upon. Do you ever think about what you're going to leave for your children? Even you young people, you better be thinking about it. Well, it'd be on you before you know it. You think life's so long and it's so far out there in front of you and you just don't even realize how soon it'll be. You're going to blink your eyes and there you're going to be where we're at now. It's so funny how life turns around on you so fast. I mean, I'm the young guy that everybody, you know, I was the young guy. Look, now I'm the old guy. When you see me, it's the gray beard and the hair, and everybody thinks I'm the old guy. And I am. I look at all these young people, and I feel like that I'm like one of them, but then I get to thinking about it, I'm old enough to be their dad, almost every one of them. Yeah, life turns around on you pretty quick. So you better be thinking now. Now! What are you going to do with your life? How are you going to live it? What are you going to live it for? How are you going to order your life? Are you going to consider the effect that it's going to have on your children and your grandchildren? You said yesterday, somebody said, a grandfather is, he's somebody who's got silver in his hair and gold in his heart. And Olivia said, and gum in his pocket. Yeah. You'll be there before you know it. I mean, that was just a little while ago. We were laying in bed one night and I said to her, you know, none of the kids were married or anything yet, but I think Seth was, 17 or something like that. But I told her, I said, you know, just think about it here. You know, in 3 or 4 years, we could be grandparents. And it just struck me, 3 or 4 years? No. You know, and I said that to myself, no. I'm not a grandpa. To think of myself as a grandpa was totally a shock to me. I had never thought of it. I never dreamed or thought about it. I just didn't give it any thought. You better give it some thought, because it's going to happen to you too. That quick. And you just don't know what I'm talking about, do you? You just really don't understand that. I know you don't. There's some people who don't stumble along through life that ignorant, though. Abraham didn't. Abraham had the long look. God was promising him things that were far off. God made him promise. You remember that time God appeared to him and explained to him, and that darkness came over him and he went to sleep and all that, and God explained to him about 400 years his seed would be in a foreign country and all that. And we talked about how that, see, God just revealed to Abraham that this is a long-term thing he's talking about. He's not talking about something that's going to be in Abraham's day. See, and we have a hard time looking beyond our day. We just think our life is all that matters, and when we're gone, it don't matter what happens then. A lot of people feel that way. As soon as I'm gone, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. I don't think that. Abraham wasn't that way. I mean, he had everything in order. Remember last week we talked about the death of Abraham and how he set everything in order and had everything lined out so that it would work when he was gone. And so that everybody could get along. And there wouldn't be a big fuss and fight. So all of us are leaving something for our posterity. And it may be little or it may be much of money and worldly possessions. Some people don't leave nothing and some people leave a lot to their children. But the most important thing we leave to our descendants is who we are and what we live for. That's what's going to matter. The memory of the just is blessed. But the name of the wicked shall rot. It ain't hard for me to choose which one I want. I don't want my name to rot. I don't want the mention of my name to cause a stink among everybody, especially my family. Man, I could stay there for a while, but I'm going to move on. But the most important thing we do is leave to our descendants who we are and what we live for. I say this a lot, but I want it to be something that you remember I said, and I want you to understand that it is true. Example is the strongest influence. No matter what you say, no matter what you pretend, example is the strongest influence. People are going to follow example more than anything else, no matter what you do. So what kind of example? Abraham was a good example to his son, to his sons, to his family. Now let's talk about Ishmael just a little bit here. You know, Ishmael was also blessed because he was Abraham's son. It's funny how the Bible does here. We read the first verse there, verse 11. Came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well, Lahairoi. Now, these are the generations of Ishmael. Verse 12. I'm going to read this now. It goes through this. But it stops with Isaac, and you got an interlude in there, and we hear about Ishmael, all of his sons, their things, and their nations, and all that, and then Ishmael dies, and then we go back to Isaac. Ishmael is dismissed out of the history. From this point on, it's not about him. We know what happened to him, we know about his family, and that's it. But from now on, it's Isaac and Jacob, and the sons of Jacob, and Joseph. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Abdeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Masa, and Hadar, and Tema, and Jeter, and Naphish, and Kadima. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns, and by their castles. 12 princes, according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost, and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. Now there's some prophecies that God had made about Ishmael. Some promises God had made about Ishmael to Abraham, to Hagar, and about Ishmael's future and what he was going to turn out to be. You know, I think we've got a bit of a wrong impression about Ishmael and his family. We tend to think of him as somebody who was completely ungodly and base and who couldn't get along with anyone. And I don't really know why we think that way, except for the fact that God told Hagar that he was going to be a wild man and his hand was going to be against everybody and everybody's hand was going to be against him. And God did tell her that. But the evidence in the scripture is to the contrary of that being his entire life. You know, when he left, he was mocking. And he was put out. And they were made to go away and stay away. But when we got to Abraham's death last week, we see Ishmael again. And we see him with Isaac. And we see him burying his father. We see that he was there with Isaac, and apparently there was no strife between Ishmael and Isaac then. The Bible sure don't mention anything about that. And we see that God made some very important promises to Abraham concerning Ishmael, as well as to Hagar, his mother. He promised to bless Ishmael and to make of him a great nation. God did. He sure did. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Genesis 17:20. Several chapters ago, God said this was what was going to be, this was what was going to happen with Ishmael. 12 sons, 12 nations. And that's what we just read happened. God kept his promise. He did bless Ishmael. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. God said to Abraham in chapter 21, verse 13, the son of the bondwoman, because he's your son, I'll make of him a great nation. You see, Abraham's life influenced Ishmael as well as Isaac. They didn't part as enemies and stay enemies and die enemies, father and son. Ishmael didn't die hating Abraham. Yeah, Ishmael didn't die despising Abraham. Bitter because he was not the chosen son. I see lots of evidence to the contrary of that. We see in the children of Ishmael and in his death that there was evidently a great deal of influence from Abraham. Now, you know, names mean something. And it gives all the names of Ishmael's 12 sons here. Let me just run through them real quick and give you the meaning of the names. And see if it gives you an insight into Ishmael's mind and attitude and the fact that God blessed Ishmael. Are you listening? You thinking now? Now listen to what he named his children. Nebajoth, the firstborn, was named, his name means fruitfulness. Make cheerful. Number two, Kedar means dark skinned. Black. What it means. Can't help it. You know, I told Terry last night, I was sitting there thinking, studying all this, and did y'all ever notice that even the modern Jews, are you listening? It's a wind blowing. They're not dark skinned. Have you noticed that? You noticed that all the Arabs are dark skinned? Why is that? Because Abraham's children, the chosen children, didn't intermarry with another race. Ishmael took a wife out of Egypt, a daughter of Ham. I mean, she was of the children of Ham. So the children of Ishmael were half Hamites, half Shemites. The Jews are Shemites. They're not mixed. That's why. There you go. Simple. Abdil, number three, means disciplined of God. These are the meanings of the names of Ishmael's children. Mibsam means fragrance, sweet odor. You notice all the positive thoughts. You know, let me remind you that Joseph named his children down in Egypt when he had his two sons. You remember what he named them? Ephraim and Manasseh. God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the other one, he's made me to forget all my affliction. That's what Joseph named his children. So the meanings of the names of the children mean something. Mishma, a report. Hearing, understanding. Duma, I thought this was funny. Duma, D-U-M-A-H, you might say Duma, means silent, dumb. He was a quiet one. Masa means burden. Hadar means chamber or parlor. Tima means enclosure or wall. Jeter means encircled. Do you know a crown? The meaning of a crown? Crown means encircled. Children's children are the crown of old men. Encircled. Naphish, next to the last, means refreshed, as by a current of air. Kadima means anticipate or precede. Like hopeful. That's what Ishmael named his children. They're not bitter names. They don't speak of bitterness or hatred or anything like that or ill will. They don't speak of a troubled person who's out of whack with God and everything. When Ishmael died, the same language is used that was used for the first time with Abraham. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. Just like Abraham. It speaks of of his soul continuing on. He's only the second man whose death is described that way in the Bible. Abraham was the first. Ishmael is the second. There's a good amount of evidence that Ishmael was not what we've always thought him to be. Abraham had prayed for him when he was a boy. Remember when Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." Genesis 17:18. We see that God did bless Ishmael. You think that God heard Abraham's prayers? Or do you think God ignored Abraham's prayers? You think Abraham might have lived to see Ishmael live before God? Now, he was not included in the promise. He was a son of Abraham, and God made special promises to him, going to make of him a great nation, and he's going to have 12 sons and 12 nations and a great people, and going to multiply his seed immensely. But Isaac was the special one whom the Savior of the world was going to come through. And all the nation of Israel and all the working of God was going to be through the other. You know, some people finally learn to deal with the fact that they can't be number one. God will help you with that. God will. And a good, godly parent can help you with that too. You remember old Brother Earl preaching about to the Jew first and also to the Greek? He said, well, I'm not a Jew, so that means I ain't first. He said, Jews first. And he said, somebody's got to be first. I don't care as long as I'm in there somewhere. Well, maybe Ishmael got to that point too. Maybe he understood that it was just pretty good just being Abraham's son. He did have a good father. He had a great heritage. He had promises from God and blessing from God too. But it was just different than Isaac's. You reckon? God did bless Ishmael. And Ishmael was gathered to his fathers when he died. Who would have been his, it says his people. Who would have been his people? Abraham. Even those who are strangers to the promises are blessed by their association with those who have the promises and obtain them. The children of the righteous enjoy blessing simply because of their association with them. Now, that's a fact. And the fact that righteousness bears fruit that is good and lasting, that's why the children of the righteous are blessed. And we all need to consider this morning. We need to consider what kind of legacy we're going to leave for those who follow us. The life we're living, what kind of lasting fruit will it produce? Think about it. We all need to think about this. What do you spend your time doing? You got spare time? What do you spend your time doing? You think you're wasting it, or you think you're using it to some purpose that's going to last? I would like to just preach a whole message right here. You know, you live your life, and your life is full of experiences and things that you learn. You know, there's a great value in writing those things down. When you die, they're going to be buried with you unless you write them down. That's the only way you can salvage them. That's the only way you can give them to somebody else. But instead, we'll sit and watch a movie for hours and just entertain our minds and do nothing. And when we're done, there ain't nothing there. We're just wasting the time. We're wasting our life instead of using what time we have to leave something behind us that'll have a good effect and influence on others. There's so much more we could do than what we're doing, isn't there? I'm just trying to get you to see this morning that right here is a good example of what one life did for many other lives that came after him. Abraham lived for God, and he lived a life of sacrifice, really. He left his family and his homeland and all that and lived as a stranger in a tent all of his life. We were talking about here a while ago, living in a tent. A few months is one thing, but a lifetime is another thing. He did it because he was obeying God. Even though he couldn't understand what all the consequences and all would be, but he was about obeying God. What will our children and grandchildren really remember about us? Just think about it. What will they remember about us? I can remember relatives that are dead and gone a long time ago, and all I can remember about them is sitting in front of a TV. Didn't have no life, apparently, other than that. I don't want to leave that to... I don't want people to remember me for that. What is there about us that'll stand out in their thinking after we've been gone for a while? You know, a lot of things just go by the wayside, and it's like it's like panning for gold, and you wash out all the junk, and the gold's left. That's kind of like what happens with memories of people after they're gone. What's going to remain? What's going to remain? What's going to stand out about you? What are you going to be remembered for? Are we living for things that'll destroy their lives when they follow our footsteps? Or are we living for things that'll lead them into joy and peace and everlasting life? No, not many people think about those things. They just live their life after the lust of the flesh, doing what they want to, what feels good to them, what makes them comfortable, and what occupies their mind to keep them from being miserable, and then they leave nothing. They don't realize that those that come behind them are going to follow them down the same trail. Leave tracks. Leave a trail that'll lead them into places that'll help them instead of to places that where they might get more than... You know what the parents tolerate, the children embrace. You've heard that saying before. You know, well, I'll just fiddle with it a little bit and it ain't going to bother me and I'm not going to let it get a hold of me. But then the children come along and they take it all, they swallow her completely down. Well, if a wise parent won't fool with it at all, they're going to think about the children coming along and maybe getting in more trouble. You might be able to stand it and you might be able to pull out of it before it's too late, but they won't. And it'll be partly your fault. Be a wise parent. Before you're even a parent, start thinking about living your life for those that are going to follow you. Even if you don't have children, you can still live a life that's going to influence other people and leave behind something that's worthwhile. Think of all the billions of people who've lived on this earth since the Garden of Eden. And how many of their lives really left a mark? Think about it. And the ones who did, what kind of people were they? The ones that left anything good were godly people. The ones that left a stink were extremely evil people. All right, well, let's stand. It's raining so hard you're having trouble hearing me, I guess. We're getting it, ain't we? Think about it, y'all. I mean, the last thing about Abraham is what he left behind. He's gone, but he left something behind. That at the mention of his name, there's a whole lot that comes to mind. You know what he was, and you know who he was. I mean, you know what his life was about. And that's the reason God can bless us even. The reason we're here today and this church is here and we've got something to preach, you can trace it right back to Abraham. God's working through the human race and He started at Abraham with what we've got here right now. All right, Father, thank You for Your Word and thank You for the blessings of life. Thank You for the truth. I pray You'd help us to understand this morning. Lord, thank You for the rain and all that You do for us. I know we need it. Lord, it's what we have to keep things going. And Lord, I pray You'd help us in our lives to live for You and to live with eternity in sight, to live with the next generation in sight and be responsible for ourselves, for our actions, for the choices we make and the tracks we leave behind, the trails we leave behind for our children to follow. Lord, help us to take it seriously and do right in Jesus' name. Amen.